Amen. Amen. It is so wonderful to be amongst the saints, Highland Heights Church of Christ. We had a wonderful fellowship with several members at lunchtime, and I can tell you, I fared sumptuously. And I'm going to tell you, I am definitely going to be on time tonight, because by the time I get back to Austin, it'll be time for me to go to bed. But I enjoy thoroughly the fellowship. Amen. And I will tell you, Brother Brooks said Brother Stroud is his friend. I'm going to do like the little kids say, he was my friend first. But I've enjoyed those brethren over the years. I really grown to love Brother Brooks as well. That brother funny boy, and I'm talking about, he'll have you in stitches if you listen to me. We country boys, and we have a kindred spirit from the country. Yeah, we can talk about some of the same things. It's good. It's good to see Brother Henley, Sister Henley. And I know I'm going to miss somebody. I see Kenton in the back there. Chasing back there? He got a little police uniform on. He's grown up. It's good to see him, and good to see Sister Shirley, and man, there's so many. And Muriel, it's good to see Muriel. But Muriel, you know why I'm back in Austin? That one right there. She said, "You know you're coming back." I said, "What do you mean I'm coming back?" She said, "You ain't gonna get away." She said, "They got jobs at Walmart." Y'all know that's her. Y'all know I'm not telling a lie, right? Y'all know that. But it's so good to see everybody, and it's so good to have had an opportunity to just to resync and catch up. And just want to let you know how much you mean to me and my family, and what you all did for us, and how much I love you. But I can't go without saying something about my wife now. Oh yeah, it's Brother and Sister Ward. Brother, I told Sister Ward when I said Angela and the others, I told Sister Ward, I said, if my wife see you, they're gonna have to hose her down. That's her buddy. That's her. And Brother Ward has been very, very instrumental in my life, as Brother Cash Brown, Sister Brown, and all of you. I said, I know I'm gonna miss. I love y'all. If I miss somebody, I didn't mean to. Proverbs 18:22 says, a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. Boy, I got a good thing. May 19th, the Lord let us see, it'll be 28 years worth of a good thing. That's a good woman right there. And if I used to always tell my friends, if something ever goes wrong in our marriage, you know whose fault it is. Mine. That's a good woman. I've always been the mother of my children, love of my life, and I'll tell you, especially in the ministry, they deal with more, I think, than us as preachers in the ministry. But they hang in there anyway. And you know, behind every good man is a what? No, a surprise mother-in-law. Surprise mother-in-law. She said, "Oh, Lord, I didn't know that Russell was going to turn out like that." But no, I said, "It's right, it's a good woman." I hope to say something this evening to encourage you in the Lord. And if you will, be turning in your Bibles. And my Bible reader, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 1. Robert, I hope I get this thing working right. Just put it up. I'm going to try to do PowerPoint. I don't know if. This is what I want right here. I'm supposed to push a button or something? Okay. All right. There we go. We'll wait until they get it. Our message this morning and our message this evening is what to do when you don't know what to do. And I hope to encourage you just for a little while as we look at being confused. Turn, if you will, brother, again, as a young man read, and thankful for that. I didn't do that, brother. Okay. But anyway, 2 Chronicles, go ahead, start with verse 12, and then we'll get into that. Okay, good, it's back up. 2 Chronicles 12, this is the New King James, but the brother will be reading from the King James Version of the Bible. And what does the Bible say, brother?
Which verse?
Verse 12, and then we're going to go back to verse 1. Good. 2 Chronicles 20 and 12, it's up here. All right.
O our God, would thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that coming against us.
Yes.
Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee.
They didn't know what to do. They were confused, bewildered, afraid, and overwhelmed. You ever been there in your life? Confused, afraid, and overwhelmed. You ever been so overwhelmed and so tired that you wanted to give up, give out, turn back, and go the other way? I'm reminded of a story that I heard. And some of you are old enough to remember this. You remember the fight between Ali and George Foreman? The rumble in the jungle. You remember that fight? And for several rounds, George Foreman was wearing Muhammad Ali's body out. And I forget what round it was. Harold, you might can help me. I think it was around the 8th round. George Foreman got tired and his arms dropped. And they said Ali reached, he said this. He said Ali reached over to him and whispered in his ear, "Wrong time to get tired, Big George." And he knocked him out. It was round 8. They say it's round 8. I'll have to go with the man in the back. He knocked him out. I hear some of my brothers and sisters saying I'm tired. I get it. Trust me, listen, I know what it means to be tired. This life can wear you down and wear you out, and some things you don't see coming, and they could just knock you for a loop. The Bible says in Galatians 6 and 9, he said, don't grow weary in well-doing. Listen, this is the wrong time to get tired, brothers and sisters. You might be right there at your reward. This is the wrong time to get tired and to give up and to turn around and to stop. Keep on going. Keep on fighting. And listen, if you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. If you can't crawl, call Brother Stroud and Brother Brooks and tell them to pick you up and drag you across the finish line. Let me tell you something. It's the wrong time to get tired. You work too hard. You work too long. You tried too much. You've been in this fight for too long to turn back and give up. Nobody is going to get in my way of going to heaven, because I can't wait. You know, I forget who it was. I don't know if it was Brother Miles or Brother Winfrey, but they just said when God said, well, they were going to step on in. Not well done, that good and faithful service. I've been waiting too long. Amen. You've been waiting too long. You've been fighting too hard to give up, to turn around and go back the other way. Hang in there. Don't get tired, because I'm going to tell you, if you get tired, the devil's going to knock you right out. And some of us will never get back in the game again. I've known some wonderful, beautiful members of the Lord's church, faithful all my life. Now they're nowhere to be found in the Lord's church. That's sad. That's sad. Old preacher used to say, if you're flying on that 747 from Houston to North Carolina, if somebody offends you, what you gonna do? You gonna say, I don't want to be on this plane, I want off? No, you're gonna fly to your destination till you get there safely. See, y'all, we gotta understand something. The church belongs to Christ. Ain't nobody, I know that's bad English for you teachers, but I know that's good communication. Ain't nobody gonna turn me around. Why am I gonna get out of the ark of safety? Brother Miles used to say, you gonna stay in the ship. I used to, oh, I loved it. I loved them old. I love the older brothers and sisters. And guess what? We don't call people old no more. Don't call you old no more. We call you antiques. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Old stuff you throw away. Antiques you value and they go up the older they get. See, I know you like that. So the baby looked at me like, you ain't calling me no antique. Yeah, you antique, baby. You ain't old. I told Sister Thomas, I said, I want to know which one of them water fountains y'all drinking out of, the first one or the second, because I'm going to start drinking. She talking about she's going to be 81. Y'all get the repentance card for her right now. She's going to be 81. And then Tommy's sister talking about am I supposed to be telling y'all's ages? I'm going back to Austin. Tommy and Bo got to deal with it. Tommy's sister says she's 69. Where's she at? Don't look like shit, man. Look, yeah. Get them repentance cards. I want to see both of y'all up here when we give the invitation. All jokes aside, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and let's get y'all out of here. Verse number 1, and we're going to try to exegete this passage and try to give you something that will help you in your walk with the Lord. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse number 1.
It come to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle.
Listen, Jehoshaphat is the king, and he's the leader. For all of those of us who want to lead, you need to understand when the battle comes, they're coming for the leader in your house. You the head, I'm the head, I'm the head, I'm the head. Listen, there comes responsibility with being the head. And when the enemy attacks your house, he's coming for the head of the house. You notice, they're coming after all of Israel, but the Bible says, guess what? He said they came to fight against Jehoshaphat because he represented. You want to be a man? You want to be a preacher? You want to be an elder? You're going to have to take some shots. You're just going to have to take sure. I was at a marriage retreat not that long ago, and they were coddling them brothers, talking about, well, you know, brothers, if your wife doesn't show you appreciation, you have the right. No Bible. It sounded good. You know what? And I'm sitting there, you know, because I told my wife, I said, now, since we left Charlotte, I'm going to keep my mouth shut for a year. If... I'm sitting there, I'm saying, okay, somebody in this room going to get some Bible. And I'm like, brothers, this is your duty. This is your job. Nobody ain't got to pat you on your back. This is what you signed up to do. When you said, I'm going to leave this house, I'm going to take care of this wife, I'm going to take care of these children, that's what you signed up to do. Amen. Then do it. No matter if somebody tells you thank you or not, it's your job. Show them where that servant came out of the field, and the master said, what he said? He said, go and fix my food. Because guess what? That was his duty. You know, in this passage, what I want to show is that although these troubles and trials come to us, Job said in Job 14 and verse number 1, man that is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But I want to tell you today that, guess what? Troubles don't last always. Psalm 30 and 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy come in the morning. Somebody say, Brother, why you go to sleep so early? Because I know morning is coming. Man, if I have a whole lot of stuff on my hand, you know what I do? Ask my wife what I do. I go to bed. Somebody said, you go to bed at 6 o'clock? If something bothers me, I go to bed because there's nothing I can do about it. I turn it over to God, and when I wake up in the morning, it's easier to deal with. The problem ain't gone, but it's easier to deal with. 2 Chronicles 22, brother, heard it right quick.
Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, they're coming a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side, Syria.
Hey, guess what? Jehoshaphat. A bunch of folk coming to Jehoshaphat said, there's coming a great multitude against you. Notice they didn't say against us. They coming against you, Jehoshaphat. You ever felt alone? You ever felt that you had to deal with stuff all by yourself? We were laughing at lunch today, and Tommy said, man, I've had my friend Bo. I said, at least you had somebody you could touch. Man, I had to get, listen, if it wasn't for my wife and some of the stuff I've had to do, 2011, I want you to remember that day, 2011 is when all my trials, man, listen, things just started happening bad. I had one day that was so bad, brothers and sisters. As I was driving home at the end of the day, a rock popped up and broke my windshield. I said, Lord, I said, it's bad enough that the devil beating up on me. Now he just threw a rock at my windshield and broke it. You ever had one of those days? One of those, listen, 2011. Every day it was something different. 2 Chronicles 20 and 3.
And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah.
See, Jehoshaphat is a wise king. He sought himself to seek the Lord. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon the Lord while he's near. Guess what? You know, sometimes we don't call on the Lord in good times, but we know how to call on him in hard times, but that's all right. Call on him anyway. While he's near, while he'll be fine. Verse 20, hurry right quick.
And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord.
Yes.
Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord.
Yes.
And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court.
I wanted to say one thing in this point. Be in the Lord's house with the Lord's people. When you're going through something, just be in the Lord's house with the Lord's people anyway. Jehoshaphat and the people, they found themselves in the Lord's house with God's people. You don't want to be found out here in the world when you're going through this stuff. Amen. Keep reading, brother.
And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of
Look at this prayer. First of all, he's acknowledging who God is. He's acknowledging who God is and what God can do. He says, do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nation? No one is able to withstand you. See, when you know who is on your side, somebody say, me and God are in the majority. No. God's in the majority all by himself. When you got God on your side, I don't care what the world throws at you, you won. Don't be on the opposite side of God. Keep reading, brother.
And in thine hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee?
Yes.
Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel?
One of the things I want you to see, and we're going to drop down and we're going to try to hurry through this as quick as possible. One of the things I want you to see, he's remembering and putting in the remembrance what God has done. Y'all remember the song, Here I Raise My Ebenezer? Y'all remember that song? We had this in songbook. You know what an Ebenezer stone is? It is a stone of remembrance. And what that Ebenezer stone stood for, I think Samuel, if I'm not mistaken, put that stone up. And it says, thus far has the Lord bought me. Some of us need Ebenezer stones in our lives. God has brought us through some stuff, but we forgot. And we get into the next situation, and we've forgotten how far God brought us. And when, listen, Some of us, you know, I've known some of you for 20 years, and some of you have gone through some stuff, and you have endured, and I'm looking at you now, and I'm looking at you, and you know who you are, and boy, you look mighty good. At the time, you thought it was going to kill you. I remember, and I'm going to pick on Stroud for a minute. I remember Brother Stroud lost a job, and Brother Stroud just, oh, and Brother Miles, well, you know, listen, y'all antiques, y'all could be something sometime. Brother going through stuff, got to feed his family, got a young family. And Brother Miles just looked at Stroud and said, boy, it's going to be all right. Man, I ain't got no job, boy. I remember, boy, I ain't got, you know, P.I. ain't got, it's going to be all right. Got a better job. And Brother Miles told us, he said, when he used to work down in the docks and work down in them boats, he used to tell the young guys when they come to work there, he said, the thing you got to do, you got to fall in love with your work. Because some of them jobs, you work all of that time, you got to fall in love. You got to endure. And I remember seeing Brother Miles before he passed. And remembering, at the last image I remember of seeing Brother Miles, he was sitting there watching the Masters in his easy chair with his flip-flops on. And I remember bringing Brother Miles, me and Paul Reed, brought Brother Miles, Brother Winfrey, and Brother Flowers on the job. And Brother Winfrey said, son, there was a time when we couldn't come in here at all unless we were cleaning up. And you boys, we're so proud of you boys, and you're bringing us to a place we couldn't even come to. I don't care what's going on in this country, in this world. We are Christians. And we ought to always behave ourselves as Christians because we're on God's side. And let me tell you something. When stuff is happening all around you and happening to everybody around you, and guess what? It's not impacting you. Why? Because God has you covered.
Amen.
You know what? Keep reading, bro.
And gave us to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever.
Okay, let's drop down to verse 12.
O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee.
So the answer is, I don't know what to do, but I'm looking to God to help me through. Verse 15.
And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's.
Why are you fighting? Why are you trying to fight? It's not your battle. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I was blessed today talking to Tommy and just listening to some of the struggles of life he's gone through and how he said, brother, I just humbled myself. I just humbled myself. You know, and I'm not trying to speak on anything other than to say, I know where you're coming from, brother. I told you this morning about my daughter and how the church reacted. It wasn't pleasant. But I sat down from preaching, which is what I love to do. You can probably tell that by now. I sat down. I didn't leave. I didn't raise any cane. I didn't try to tear up the church. I worked. I served the congregation still. I didn't take any salary, and I wasn't taking any salary. Those folks were, not everybody, but some of those folks were just downright harsh, mean, and cruel. The Bible says, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. He said, I'm going to fight your battle for you. The battle doesn't belong to you. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Stop trying to fight with folks. Now, you do what the Bible tells you to do, and just be done.
Amen.
And I'll tell you something I'm never going to do. If I don't like something that's happening in the Lord's church, and if I can't do anything about it, I got to go somewhere else. I will never stand in the Lord's church and tear up the Lord's church. Amen. Just not going to do it. And I'm not talking to anybody, but I'm talking to everybody.
Amen.
Just, and guess what? If you hang in there long enough, the Lord will bless you. 2 Chronicles 7:14. We need to seek and listen to the Lord's counsel. If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins. That's the first thing we need to do when we don't know what to do. The next thing we need to do is do not be afraid. You're going to read that text. We need to calm down. That's what he tells them. He says, calm yourself. Psalm 131 and verse 2, he says, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul. Sometimes, church, we just need to calm down. Seek the Lord. Listen to his counsel. Calm yourself. Next, remember who's in control.
Amen.
You will not need to fight in this battle. He said, you don't need to fight. God is saying, I want you to be a spectator. What he says in verse 17, he says, position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. He says, tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. We got to be in the right place, church, so the Lord can bless us. If I'm going to position myself, I can't be like those foolish virgins. I got to be where God wants me to be.
Amen.
A lot of times we don't get blessed because we're not where God would have us to be in order to get the blessing. Listen, if the blessing is over here, what's your name, son?
Deshaun.
If the blessing's over here with Deshaun, why are you over here with David? What you doing over here? If God says, I want you to go here and wait for your blessing, what you doing all the way over here? Go where God told you to be so you can be blessed. And I'm telling you, all spiritual blessings are well in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. You're going to have to stay in Christ. You're going to have to stay in the ship. If you are going to be saved, if you're going to be blessed.
Somebody said, well, I got a new car. I got more money, so I'm blessed.
So did the wicked man. They don't make you blessed because you got stuff. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose a soul? That is not a barometer of how blessed you are.
Amen.
I can be broke, busted, and disgusted and still be on my way to heaven.
Amen.
I can be richer than the guy who owns Amazon and lost his two left shoes. Position yourself in a place to be best.
Amen.
I said, well, what else should I do? Stand still. Stand still. The book of Ephesians said, when you've done all you can do to stand, he said, stand. Well, I can't stand. No, he said, what do I do next? Keep on standing. Well, I'm tired. Keep on standing. Well, I want to go home. Keep on standing. If you stand long enough, your legs are going to get strong. If your legs get strong, then you'll be able to stand a little longer and get what God has in store.
Amen.
For you.
Amen.
We have to stand still and see what God has in store for us. But I think one of the main things, church, is to not be afraid.
Amen.
Not be afraid. A lot of times we're just scared. And I believe that as our faith builds and trust in God, the less fearful we're going to be. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me. I want to thank you so much for your time, for your attentiveness, for your prayers over the years, for your love. If you are here this evening and you don't know what to do, if you have never obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you can do that today. Amen. The gospel message is that Jesus Christ not just died, but Jesus suffered. And I mean suffered before he died. See, we don't preach just some weak message. We preach the cross. Isn't that what the Bible says? And we preach Christ crucified. Church, let me tell you something. If you don't know what to do, you need to know where Christ is and what he can do in your life. But first of all, you need to know what he did for you. I don't think if I understand what Christ did for me that I would leave the Lord's church, that I would give up. If someone gave up everything he had and came to this earth, was spit upon, was denied, was mocked. See, that you lose me right there. You're going to lose me right there. Well, you might lose me at the spitting. But some of us, you're going to lose me mocking me. He said something bad about me. That wasn't nothing to cry. Well, I say nothing, but it's an insult to his godness. Then they beat him. It wasn't no beating. Somebody said, my mama used to beat me like that. No, your mama beat you like that when you know. Not like that. That metal and bone on his naked skin, beating him, ripping skin off, that wasn't enough. When he's ripping the skin from his back, then you take that wooden, and then, I don't know what it was like, but you take that wooden cross and you put it on them open, cut, ripped wounds, and you press it down, and then you make him. You take those long nails and you nail his hand to the cross. You nail his foot to the cross. You make him stand on that cross for 6 hours, and you make him. You be, how in the world can I talk about the church of Christ when I didn't pay for it with blood? See, that shows me that something is wrong with our understanding of the gospel when I can talk about the Lord's church and the Lord's people in a way I don't understand it. It says me. These are God's people. And God wouldn't even let Moses do some of the things he wanted to do. That's God's business. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I shall repay. He sent his son. His son said, take this cross away. And he said, no. Because he loved you and me that much that he would suffer all of those indignities. So you and I have the right to the tree of life. He didn't just die. Everybody, people die every day. But he suffered and died for our sins. Brother, let me tell you something. We sin. But he sent him anyway. And as I heard earlier, though he was a son. Though he was a son. He learned humility through the things that he suffered. Listen, church. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just. You know what that means? He didn't have any of his own. So he had to suffer for ours, for the unjust, you and me. Whenever you think you deserve to be, remember. I want you to go and remember the cross for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, made alive in the spirit. What must I do to be saved? I got to hear that gospel message, Acts 15 and 70. I got to believe it. Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For we must believe that he is and a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Amen. And then after I've heard that gospel message, and I believe that gospel message about what Jesus Christ did on the cross for me, and then I must repent of sins. I remember when you used to preach here years ago, and if you didn't explain repentance right, them two old men in that corner, they used to hold that seat down. If Winfrey didn't get you, Miles would. Son, you didn't explain repentance. We didn't argue with him. We didn't disrespect him. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Brother Winfrey and brother, my brother said, he said, now repentance, you got to tell the people what repentance means. Repentance means that you're walking this way towards sin. That you live in a life of sin. You shacking up. You doping up. You doing everything else up. Repentance means that you turn and you say, I'm not going to shack up no more. I'm not going to dope up no more. I'm not going to beat up no more. I'm just going to go and I'm going to turn and go the other way. That's what repentance. I'm going to change my heart. And literally what it means is to be turned inside out. That's literally what it means. And I'm to repent, Luke 13, 3-5. Then I am to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. You're not saved yet. There's a lot of people out here teaching a false doctrine that all you got to do is confess with your mouth. If you keep reading down in the past, see, if you will read down in the text, the Bible will tell you what you need to know. See, people want to take things out of context. I got to tell you the story, and I'll let you go. Me and Pat Thompson. Am I saying his name right? Thompson. Tompkins. Pat was with Kenton and Chasing and all those guys. And Pat was cutting hair at the barbershop over on the campus. And one of the guys came in, it was a Baptist preacher came in, and one of the guys, they were picking with Pat because he was a member of the Church of Christ. And they had humiliated poor little Pat. And Pat came back, he said, Brother Ellaby, I want you to go up here with me, and I want to talk to this preacher, and will you go up with me and talk to him? Well, I couldn't say no, because, you know, I'm kind of his mentor. But I didn't tell Pat, I was scared too. And we got up there, this big name preacher, and Pat says, and the guy says, you guys want to come in? I said, no, Pat, we don't want to go in. There's too many of them in there. Let's get him in his office. He said, y'all can wait and go in my office. And Tommy, we went in his office, and he had all these degrees from all of these seminaries and all of this stuff on the wall. He had all these letters behind his name, and I didn't tell Pat, but I sure was scared. I said, this man, I said, I'm just a dumb old country preacher from South Carolina. I said, this man gonna humiliate us. I just said that to myself, but I had to, you know, I was with Pat, so I had to kind of, you know, stand tall. We got in there, and we got to talking about women preachers. And I said, okay. He started giving me the historical and the cultural significance, and I said, well, let's just read what the Bible says. And he started reading in 1 Corinthians. And when he read and I saw it click with him, in my mind, I said, we got him now. And I was like, wrong time to get tired, Big Joe. And he tried to explain. I said, keep on reading. And I just said, keep on reading. Here's the point I'm trying to make. You don't have to know. All you got to know is what's right and what's true. And see, let me tell you something. There's a lot of folks that think you got to know everything. Just know what's right. You don't have to know false doctrine. You just know what's true. For those of you who work in the treasury, who know counterfeit money, you know how they train those folks to see counterfeit money? They show them what the real thing is. I want to teach the people in the church to know what the real thing is, you know, and then you'll know what the counterfeit thing is. Man, that guy started reading, and I said, keep on reading. And then I said, well, we go to the Highland Heights Church of Christ. We'd like to invite you to come and worship with us sometime. He didn't pick on Pat no more. No more. And then a person, after they confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, must be baptized for the remission of sin. to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's 238. And they will be added to the church, the only church you can read about in the Bible. There is but one church. Folks don't want to say that no more. One church, that's the church of Christ. Folks get mad. Well, you don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. And listen, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I'd rather your feelings get hurt right now than for your feelings to get hurt when you stand before the Lord in judgment, when he says, I never knew you. Depart from me. And then finally, be faithful unto death. Church, I want to thank you so much. Revelation 2:10. So much. I don't know if I helped you. I hope I did. I hope we encouraged you all. I'm telling you, I'm sitting here, I'm living proof that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask or think. I'm living proof that you can go through a lot of stuff and become stronger on the other side. Just hang in there. And if you ever get to the point where you just want to give up, you got some great leaders here. But you feel free to call me. Call my wife. I'm going to tell you, don't quit. Quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. You are some beautiful people. Yeah, y'all pretty and all that. I know somebody said, oh, yeah, I know I'm pretty. No, no, not just that. Because you are the children of God. Why don't you come together and stand and sing a song of courage?